I'm ready. Oh my gosh. I mean, just when you think, ladies and gentlemen, that things are just not about to get worse, they're getting worse. They're getting worse. And you now have the former president of the United States in a historic moment, having to defend himself against a bunch of political vultures as we've got the threat of World War III on the horizon. And guess what else? The FBI is finally investigating the bridge incident in Baltimore as a criminal possible event. I'm really blown away by all this. And I'm telling you, we're on the verge of something big here. I want to go to the president of the United States. I'm Trish Regan. You're watching the Trish Regan Show. Lots ahead today. Let's see the president of the United States, former president of the United States, having to defend himself against the insanity going on in New York City today, day one of this trial where they're trying to take him down.
Walking into the courtroom.
Is that common,
here.
Andy?
Yeah.
Huh. Here's President Trump as he walks in. Let's just see if we get a comment.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
President Trump making the point that this is all politics, politics as usual, but not entirely politics as usual, because you know what? He's not usual. Most usual, normal people would say, you know what? I've had it. I'm done. Thank you very much. I'm not going to have them ruin me, my family, and future generations. And yet he's still willing to go back for more. They don't know what to do with the guy. Because every time they try and take him down, there he is saying, no, I'm going to fight back, and I'm going to fight back hard. So this is unusual. I mean, keep in mind, this is the so-called hush money case, right, where he allegedly paid off Stormy Daniels via Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, who like flipped on him, was like Mr. Rah-Rah Trump, and then all of a sudden was confronted with the reality of jail time and suddenly was singing a different tune. And they're saying, the feds are trying to say, or Alvin Bragg is trying to say in this particular case, New York is trying to say, well, we've got him on these charges because, you see, this is sort of faulty accounting. He paid off Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, with $130,000 by way of Michael Cohen. Now, this was already looked at before on the civil side, remember, and what was decided was actually Stormy Daniels owed him money. Well, now we're going back with a vendetta, a politically charged vendetta, and Alvin Bragg is trying to prove that there was faulty accounting going on. So let's just let's go out on a limb and assume that's the case. Now, he said, okay, I never had anything to do with that woman. She's also issued multiple statements saying there was no affair, but we're not even going to debate that. We're just going to say, okay, you know, he didn't really feel like having this noose around his neck, and there was a picture of them together, and maybe she was saying something, and he felt like, okay, I'm a public person now. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want my kids to deal with this. I don't want my wife to deal with this. Maybe I give her 130 grand and maybe she goes away and signs an NDA, etc. So let's like assume that that went down. Well, that's actually legal to do. You can actually give people money and have them sign NDAs. So that happens all the time. And then the question becomes, well, if he had Michael Cohen do it, his lawyer do it, is that a problem? Well, don't lawyers handle this all the time? Now, again, I'm a little out over my skis because I'm the economic expert, not a legal expert. But again, this kind of stuff doesn't seem like it would merit a full-blown trial for the former president of the United States. But let's go to a legal expert, shall we? And that would be Jonathan Turley over on Fox this morning with my very good friend, Maria Bartiromo. She's great, by the way, if you're not watching her show. I don't usually give Fox a plug, but I'll give Maria a plug. Let's watch Jonathan with her.
Telling us, I'm going to put up this letter. This is from Stormy Daniels that President Trump posted. I know you've seen this. It says, Stormy Daniels writes, the fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence. In 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018, I'm not denying this affair because I was paid hush money. I'm denying the affair because it never happened, writes Stormy Daniels. Sir.
Yeah, everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it. And so they took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. So you have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
Wow.
And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
Unbelievable.
Oh, not exactly who you would really want for your central witness. But here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. If you got a kangaroo court, does it even matter? Does it matter? It doesn't. Not if you wind up with a jury pool. Well, you have a jury pool that overwhelmingly hates Donald Trump, that overwhelmingly, more than 80%, of New Yorkers voted for Joe Biden. So how the heck do you get a fair jury? I'll tell you this, you don't. You can't even get, for goodness sakes, a fair judge. You can't get a fair judge. The judge himself has a daughter who's raising money off of none other than the very case her dad's there presiding over. He refused to allow this to move to another jurisdiction where you might have a shot of a more balanced jury. He refused to recuse himself from the case. So you get a biased judge. You get undoubtedly a biased jury. This jury selection, by the way, is going on as we speak. In this moment in time, they are selecting jurors. And you know they're going to be asking questions like, hey, what podcast do you listen to? If you answer Trish Regan, I have a feeling you're in trouble. But they're trying to find people that maybe don't listen to podcasts, that aren't informed. You really want those people deciding your fate as well, people that are uninformed? They're looking for people that don't have any kind of view in this. And I don't know if you're going to find that in New York City, because I'm pretty darn sure everybody in New York, it's one of the reasons why it's a troubling place if you're a Trump supporter to be, everybody has an opinion. And generally, those opinions are very anti-Trump, hence the cancel culture in which we now live in. And so they're going after him every which way to Sunday. As Jonathan Turley so well articulated, they've tried looking at this before. It didn't make any sense. They couldn't get the federal charge of the campaign election fraud in there, but somehow now they're coming back at that. I think he could probably argue, hey, I wasn't president at the time. And I actually wanted to protect my family, so maybe this is an NDA. Listen, this is going to be really, really challenging to prove. That is, unless you just get a biased jury that wants to take him down for whatever reason. And Alvin Bragg clearly is under orders from someone higher up. You do this. His predecessor wouldn't. It's all happening as those on the left continue to say, well, Donald Trump is the bad guy. He's the authoritarian that's going to make everyone's life a living H-E-double-L should he be elected again. Last I checked, he didn't do this to Hillary Clinton. And by the way, he could have. He didn't. I actually spoke to him about it. And you want to know what he told me? He said, look, this is America, Trish. But I have a feeling he gets back in there again. And yeah, it will be game over because they've run amok. They have treated our legal system like a total joke. And we've become effectively the banana republic that we should never, ever be at risk of becoming. But here's the MSNBC guy, their historian, saying, oh, no, no, he's authoritarian. He's the problem. Watch.
And joining us now, NBC News chief political analyst Chuck Todd, also Douglas Brinkley, a presidential historian and professor of history at Rice University. So, Douglas, how do you see this extraordinary day? I mean, it is a day where we're seeing history in the making. How do you read it?
Well, I preferred the solar eclipse last week. Now we're in a really tawdry case. The fact that we're bringing up all the hush money payments and hearing porn star or what do we call it all over again. I think it matters, though. It's really pointing to, once again, that Donald Trump's character doesn't exist. That there's a bit of shamelessness. He's misogynistic. He attacks people's families. He knows no bounds, and he tries to behave in an authoritarian manner. What will it mean? First question, can we get an uncontaminated jury pool in an age of social media where people dig? You're hiring people now to see if you ever had a friend of a friend who said something to try to stall and delay if you're Trump. He also knows, former president knows the cameras are on him. That tie we just mentioned could go on sale for $1 million donation for Trump tie from court day. So there is a circus atmosphere to it. But the seriousness is this guy is the presumptive head of the party of Abraham Lincoln, who for the first time ever we're having to witness this sort of, long drawn out series of court cases. So it leaves you wondering why Trump doesn't lose voters this coming week. But I doubt he will, because people are pretty baked in on whether they how they think about the former president.
And let's talk about
lose voters. Like, if anything, I actually think what this is doing, Mr. Brinkley, presidential historian that you are, what it's actually doing here is it's bringing more people from the middle over to the right, because they're looking at this and they're saying, whoa, like, our system has run amok. This has gotten so crazy and so political. And this poor guy just keeps coming back saying, all right, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm willing. And I'm the only one that's willing to stand up to the insanity that is America right now, that is this so-called, whatever you want to call it. Let's go with swamp, for lack of a better term. I mean, who the heck would want to be in politics today? They'll destroy you. They'll ruin you. They'll ruin your family. They'll take you to court. They'll bankrupt you. Why would you ever do this? And they're looking at him and saying, well, he's clearly crazy because he's willing to stay in it. I mean, maybe he is, because I don't know a lot of people that would be willing to put up with what he's had to put up with, which is why you see over and over again, when you see at these rallies all across America, and MSNBC doesn't understand this, well, why do people like him so much? Why do they feel like he's the only one fighting for them? Because he is. Because he actually is willing to take this on. The system be damned. And so they, meaning the left, the politicians that want to control everything, are going to try and take them down. And you know what? Here I am. I'm going to tell you, I'm not sugarcoating anything. They could. They very well could. You're looking at a New York jury, ladies and gentlemen. You get a New York judge whose daughter profits off of all this. And clearly, I guarantee you, has his own bias. So if you get so many cards stacked against you, what happens then? He'd have to hope that the appellate court would reverse it. What if they don't? You're looking at a GOP nominee that's been convicted of a possible crime, that's going to be running from jail. I mean, they're trying to get this conviction, let's be very clear, before November. And let's also be very clear, he's not going anywhere. So he's going to continue running regardless of what happens, including if he's running from a jail cell. He's told us that. And I'm just going to tell you this, like, every which way you look at this, Americans keep saying, I mean, what's our alternative? What is our alternative? It's Joe Biden. Do you see the polls out now? Only 25% of the country actually thinks he's doing better than Donald Trump. Oh, No one thinks Joe Biden is doing a good job. No one. And so while he got a little bit of a bump, after his State of the Union, the reality is this. America does not think he's doing a good job. Let me share with you an excerpt from this article that gets into the numbers, which really show you everything you need to know. Only a quarter of voters think Biden's presidency is mostly good. How do you like that? 42% of registered voters saying Trump was mostly good for America, just 25% saying the same thing about Biden. 46% of Americans think the Biden presidency has been mostly bad for America, compared with 33% from Trump. So Biden's bad for America, according to most Americans. And yet the guy that they actually think does a pretty decent job, they're going to try and put behind bars. Because, hey, you know, as long as you're going down the banana republic path, you might as well go full blown for this. I do believe Lula spent some time in jail, as did his vice president down in Brazil. We don't want to be Brazil, okay? We don't. And we shouldn't be. But when you've got a team in place that wants to control everything, this is what you're now at risk of. Indeed. So the country's in a bad spot. You got a guy who is busy eating ice cream most of the time in charge of our Iran policy. And an accomplice on that front from the State Department that even John McCain told us, you know what, has no clue what he is doing. So at this moment in time, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the verge of some kind of major military scuffle. I dare to say a World War III. I hate to say a World War III, but I do remember that it wasn't supposed to be this way if Joe Biden were in office, right? That, according to him. In fact, he ran on that. He kept saying, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to wind up in World War III if we allow Donald Trump to stay in this position. Remember that? He went on some show. Drew, I think we have this tape. I want to take you down memory lane. 2020, when he actually sounded a little bit more with it. But listen to the context of what is going on.
The world has changed because of what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right. The fact of the matter is, there's a lot at stake in this election.
You're telling me. Yeah. You know what, Joe Biden? This is on you. This is on you, and it's on you because of a series of bad events. And let's start, shall we, with, oh, I don't know, Afghanistan? Pulling out of Afghanistan, lickety-split, not leaving any people on the ground, making sure you were out what? So you could go work on Ukraine in that situation? You could re-divert resources? I don't know. But I will tell you this. It was not smart to leave behind all that equipment, to leave no intelligence operations on the ground so that maybe you'd have a chance of figuring out what was going down next. And this just takes the cake. Turning over $6 billion to the Iranians along with their hostages. Remember that? We did that nice little hostage swap. And then weeks later, October 7th happens. I'll tell you, Peter Doocy over at Fox News remembers this, and he brought it up just moments ago in the White House briefing. Take a look at this tape just in.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars.
For Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this this unfreezing, none of those funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the supreme leader of the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes, and we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
I mean, he kind of like laughed about it. It almost looked as though it was sort of a joke to him. That's John Kirby there that you just heard trying to say, no, you know, that's not really going down. Well, let me remind you, October of 2023, the Biden administration was out there defending the unfreezing of Tehran's $6 billion in assets, saying that the money was Tehran's to begin with. The profits of oil sales to South Korea that had experienced currency conversion challenges during a period under the Trump administration when sanctions against Tehran were relaxed. They're trying to say, oh, well, it was their money anyway. You know, we were kind of holding it, so we had to give it back to them. Well, they've since changed their tune like a zillion times on this. So first of all, it was like, oh, it was theirs anyway. And then it became, oh, actually, we're not really releasing that. So the status of the money, we're not entirely sure about. Let me be very clear on that. But we do know this. Let me make this very clear. We know that we gave them their hostages. We theoretically gave them the $6 billion, which we said we were still in control of and that we could like manage those accounts. And later after the fact, they were like, no, we're not releasing it. But whatever happened, weeks later, you had the tragedy in Israel that was greenlit, according to my sources, and by the way, according to the sources over at the Wall Street Journal, by none other than Iran. And so you put two and two together there, and you tell me whether that was smart to do. You tell me whether it was smart to get out of Afghanistan in such a hapless, reckless, destructive way. I think Iran's looking at that, and they're saying, gee, like, this is our opportunity. We don't know. Maybe Trump will get back in. And I can tell you, I know this. From my own sourcing and my own reporting, Iran does not want Trump. I mean, it's not like it's a headline or anything, but I can very legitimately confirm that to you. Iran does not want Trump in the Oval Office. Furious. They were absolutely furious that he undid that Obama-Iran deal. They were furious about that, as was a ton of people in the State Department that had devoted their entire careers to that thing, right? So there was a lot of legwork that went into that. And Trump went in, and what do you know? Magic wand said it's all going away. And so Iran really does not want Donald Trump back. But they might be fearful, as you look at these polls and you see them neck and neck, that Donald Trump could get this thing. So maybe they're saying to themselves, well, you know, what else are we going to do? How else can we exercise our will here? They're mad because Israel took out one of their embassies in Syria, the consulate there in Syria. They're okay, we have to do something. Well, they did something. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a big deal because it got escalated in ways, the conflict in the Middle East, that we just haven't seen. This was Iran itself. This was not a proxy. This was not Hamas. This was not the Houthis. This was Iran. Signing its name on the dotted line, sending 200 drones into Israel, making a big show of things. Israel, of course, shooting them down and with our help. But now what's next? You see, Israel has to fire back, and it will fire back next. And you got good old Biden there sitting there twiddling his thumbs, not knowing which way to take a stand. I mean, Michael Moore's out today telling him you can't actually stand with Israel on this. It's going to cost you the election. Imagine, we're going to stand with Iran. We're going to stand with Gaza. We're going to stand with Hamas and the Houthi rebels. I'm sorry. That's not who America is. And yet, look where we are. It should come as no surprise. Given who's in charge, given who's running the show, John McCain, the late senator. Okay, some of you don't like him. I get it. I know. But he got this one right, ladies and gentlemen. He warned us about Tony Blinken. He said he would be a terrible, terrible undersecretary of state for none other than Barack Obama 14 years ago, 2014. Let's go to the floor there and hear from him himself. John McCain telling us why Tony Blinken is bad for America. Remember, he is now our Secretary of State.
Madam President, I rise to discuss in my opposition to the pending vote concerning Mr. Tony Blinken, who is not only unqualified, but in fact, in my view, one of the worst selections that of a very bad lot that this president has chosen. I hope that many of my colleagues will understand that not often do I come to the floor to oppose a nomination of the President of the United States, because I believe that elections have consequences. In this case, this individual has actually been dangerous to America and to the young men and women who are fighting and serving it. Let's just review a couple of some of the elements in particular and Mr. Blinken's role in conceptualizing and furthering it. U.S. foreign policy is in a shambles. It's at best a strategic and at worst anti-strategic. I'll move on to Afghanistan. Mr. Blinken said, quote, "We've been very clear. We've been consistent. The war will be concluded by the end of 2014. We have a timetable, and that timetable will not change." This is why I'm so worried about him being in the position that he's in, because if they stick to that timetable, I am telling my colleagues that we will see the replay of Iraq all over again. We must leave a stabilizing force behind of a few thousand troops, or we will see again what we saw.
You got it right. Unfortunately, that's exactly what's going down today. In other words, we made this mad dash out of Afghanistan. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, well, Donald Trump negotiated that deal. He wanted out. Yeah, he sure as heck wanted out. I've spoken to him at length about this in the past. He does not want to sacrifice any American lives unless there's a real push come to shove, right? Unless you really have to go in there and it's full-on military. By the way, a reason why you need a strong military, for goodness sakes. You can't have the people recruiting on TikTok that are recruiting on TikTok for the Navy right now, if you get my drift. You need patriotism. You need people willing to stand up and die for this wonderful, great country. How can they ever do that, ladies and gentlemen? How would they ever want to do that in light of what you've been teaching them? You really want to go to war for a country that's a colonist country, that's a racist country, that is going to suppress you and keep you down? And I'm sorry, you're not, right? You got to remember, it is a great country. And you need to reinstill that in Americans if you expect to be able to be strong on the world stage, Joe Biden. I mean, you want to have your cake and eat it too, every single way. John McCain got it. John McCain got it. And he knew Blinken, who's been your advisor your entire career, Joe, didn't know what he was doing and was too hungry for the punchline of we're out, we're out, we're out. Or the headline, I should say. I mean, these guys were committed to a headline as soon as they got into office. They needed to get out of Afghanistan. They wanted to get out ahead of the 20-year anniversary of Afghanistan. They didn't care what it meant or what it cost them or what the reality of the future would be. Well, we're looking at the future right now. This is the future. And we've got a conflict in the Middle East unlike anything we have seen in decades, unlike anything since Iraq. A new report out today in the Jerusalem Post saying that it was Turkey that warned us. Turkey found out through Iran that Iran intended to have those drone strikes, the 200 drones it sent over. And it was Turkey, of course, our sources in Turkey, our alliances in Turkey that informed us. And we have allegedly, according to the Jerusalem Post, or did, per the Jerusalem Post, we told Turkey to tell Iran, okay, but you know what? It's got to be within these certain confines, et cetera, et cetera. It's like war games, right, being played out on a big international stage. Well, you know what? War games are costly. And I don't like war games. I don't like war games because not only are they are costly in terms of lives. And this is what we're risking. Instead of actually sanctioning the living daylights out of Iran and anybody who dared to do business with Iran, we are instead playing war games. And that's going to come with serious consequences. McCain did warn us. Donald Trump warned us. And now, as we look at November fast approaching, Americans see a Democrat Party led by a very old man. Do we have the video of the ice cream, Drew? I saw that come up earlier. I might as well play it for people. Who likes to go and get his ice cream cones on Sundays, I guess, or spend some time at the beach, who is struggling and they have to put special shoes on him, right? Especially when he's going up the stairs or down the stairs. And Joe Biden, yeah, here he is. This is your president.
Just one more economic one. Are you concerned about the strength of the dollar right now?
I'm not concerned about the strength of the dollar. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Does that make sense?
Can you explain that?
Yes.
You know, this is an important clip to play. I mean, not just because he's eating. This is an important clip to play, not just because he's eating ice cream, ladies and gentlemen, but because of what he's saying here. Joe Biden... This is from about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, making it very clear that his concern is the world, right? The stability of the world, et cetera. He's not really concerned about the stability of the U.S. dollar and the inflation, the massive inflation Americans are dealing with. No, not here. He's concerned with eating his ice cream. And while he says this, I was like the Pence moment. Remember when Tucker took down Pence? Remember when Tucker was like, hey, you know, well, what about everyday Americans? You're so worried about Ukraine. And Mike Pence said, well, that's not my concern, Tucker. That's not my concern. You always say that. And then he doubled down, you know, because we got to worry about Ukraine. Here's Joe Biden while eating ice cream saying, you know what? I'm not concerned about the U.S. dollar or the stability of the U.S. dollar. Oh, I don't care about inflation. What do I care about inflation? I'm caring about the rest of the world. Come on, buddy. Watch it again.
I'm not concerned about the strength of the dollar. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Does that make sense?
Can you explain that?
Yes. Our economy is strong as hell. The internal inflation is worldwide. It's worse off everywhere else than it is in the United States. So the problem is the lack of economic growth, sound policy in other countries, not so much ours.
Worried about growth in other countries. I mean, what a stupid, moronic thing to say. You gotta worry about growth here. I'll tell you who's worried about growth here. Our good friends over at Americans for Prosperity. They care about what's going on here at home. This is why I like them so much. If you have not checked them out, I encourage you. Go sign up for their good stuff. You'll get a lot of good research. This is a team that really does care very much about what's going on here at home. I mean, this was just such an asinine comment from an asinine president, frankly. But telling. Very, very telling in light of everything. Americans for Prosperity, they're the team that understand what's going on for inflation right now. They're the team that understand what is happening at our border. They actually get what's going on from a strategic sense on the international front. And it's one of the reasons why I really do. I like them so, so much. So check them out today, AmericansForProsperity.org. I mean... We flew out of Afghanistan, and here we are now looking at a serious mess, a mess on every front. I mean, here's a question for you. Wouldn't you be a little worried about the border? You get some 8 million people that have come into this country under Joe Biden's administration. We don't know who they are. Joe Biden actually encouraged them to surge the border back in 2020. I've played you that clip before. He actually said this. He said, I encouraged them to come surge the border. We have no idea who's here. And somehow it's wrong to say, I think we actually ought to have a better system. I don't think we can just let all these people in. I don't think we should be flying them in the dead of the night with U.S. taxpayer dollars. Thank you very much to here, there, and everywhere. You can't say that. You're bad. You are. They think you're bad. They think if you dare to think differently than them, you are bad. If you dare to think, I want to protect my community, I want to know who's here, then somehow you are the enemy. Well, they're wrong. And now, as we teeter on the verge of a very problematic environment in Iran and the Middle East and Israel, we don't know who the heck is here. No idea. because all of these people have crossed into the border. Biden got rid of the wall. Biden wouldn't offer enough money to actually reinforce border security there. And actually, he held up a giant welcome sign. Come one, come all. We'll give you everything. We'll give you free health care in California anyway. We'll give you a debit card. We'll give you a hotel stay. We'll give you a cell phone. We'll give you a court date some many years in the future when you can show up or not show up. Hey, maybe we'll even give you the ability to vote in a local school board election out in Berkeley, California. Why not? Why not? What does that then transcend to in the future? This is messed up. From a national security perspective, it's messed up. From an economic perspective, it's messed up. And from a political perspective, thank you very much, it's also messed up. You see new polls showing that he is suffering. Biden is suffering among the Hispanic population, the legal Hispanic population here in America. That doesn't surprise me. You think you want a bunch of illegals coming in, depressing wages in your community, possibly ratcheting up crime? I don't think so. And this comes as news to Joe Biden and the Democrats that, oh my gosh, we're suffering now with Hispanics. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey guys, I am feeling much better. Thank you for asking me. I'm looking at some of your comments there. You know, I was having some vocal issues on Friday. I'm feeling terrific. And I think one of the reasons I am feeling good is because I did remember over the weekend to make sure I took the fruits and veggies capsules. How do you like that? These guys are great. Balance of nature. I really like this stuff. In all seriousness, I am telling you, like, I've felt great since I've been taking it. And we're going back to really almost the start of the year when I started taking this. And I noticed a difference. I think you guys are noticing a difference. 1-800-246-8751. That is their number. 1-800-246-8751. You can call them. You can speak with them. You can use and you should use my discount code, Trish, T-R-I-S-H, because you can get 35% off. You get $10 in an extra incentive and you get free shipping. So I don't think you can beat that anywhere. I do encourage you to take a look at it. It's very, very good stuff. You know, if you have a gluten intolerance, don't worry. There's no gluten in there. They get none of the bad stuff. They get all the good in the way of those vitamins that we all so need right now. I don't know about you, but, you know, we're going into allergy season. And for me, if I get a little bit of allergy, sometimes it translates into a cold, this, that, and the other. So far, so good. Knock on wood. And I'm thanking in a big way the fact that I'm getting the fruits and veggies. The fruits and veggies capsule from Balance of Nature. Go check them out online. You can actually read all about the history of the company. Really tremendous history. And they've, over the last 20 years, just assembled this enormous outpouring from people who take it and swear by it. One of my friends, actually, I've told you this story, called me the other day saying, oh my gosh, I was listening to your show. I heard you say this. I love it. And I'm like, that is fantastic. It really makes me happy. I'm curious if you do take it, let me know. Some of you, I think Leslie reached out saying that she's been taking it for years. She also likes it. So that makes me happy. We're all in the club, so to speak. Well, I want to turn to a breaking story right now. Justin, the FBI is investigating the destruction that we saw at the Francis Scott Key Bridge. This is just in. They have opened a criminal investigation into what really went down. That was quite a sight, a horrific sight. The ship that was going underneath, the container ship that was from Singapore that was going underneath that bridge that broke it. You can see, here we go. I mean, just horrific to see this thing go down. It lost its power just moments before. You say, how does it just lose its power? How could that possibly happen? The administration really had no good answers. In fact, at the time, they said, well, we're ruling out terrorism. We don't really think that would be it. We don't think that there was necessarily, you know, anything really, really foul play going on. And yet all of a sudden today, weeks later, what do you know? The FBI is opening a criminal investigation. This should have been done, frankly, in my estimation, like day one, because there are logical questions that need to be asked in this moment in time. Then you say, well, why is it? Why is it now? Like, what could it possibly be? I mean, other than, you know, the obvious thing that typically a container ship doesn't just lose power right as it's approaching a bridge and go straight into the bridge, right? Like that's sort of a, you know, that's never, as far as I know, never really happened before. It tragically cost the lives of six people, construction workers that were working there. And by the way, I should point out, is resulting in enormous infrastructure consequences, major economic consequences, because the Port of Baltimore is going to be closed for weeks as a result of this, probably months. You've got debris from the bridge and the container ship that's continuing to be removed. The timeline is really up in the air on this. We don't know how long it's going to take. And this is an important bridge. I mean, think about what this means to the region. Apparently, according to the conference board, some $15 million in economic activity will actually be cost there in the Baltimore region. They're going to have to basically reroute so many of these cargo ships and put them into larger East Coast ports, including the Port of Virginia, the Port of New York, Port of Savannah, which don't have the capacity at this moment in time to absorb this kind of freight. So again, it's a major economic hit. It's a major infrastructure hit. It's a hit to our psychology, especially if we learn that this was deliberate, which is what they've got to investigate now. Criminal investigation now underway. And so there have been a couple of things that I suspect may be influencing this. Let's look at just what's happened in the last week. I apologize. I did not report on this story for you guys at the time. It was actually a little confusing because it was like, oh my gosh, it's like it's happening again. Like, what exactly is going down? Well, it turned out that there was a huge cargo ship that lost power near a major New York bridge recently. Yeah, that happened. What was it, April 8th? So rather recently. So just a short time after what went down in Baltimore, you get word that another bridge, this one in New York, was actually in possible jeopardy. So why would it be losing its power just as it approaches? And then why did nothing happen? I don't know. So this is the Verrazano Bridge, I think. I hope I said that right because, you know, Drew's from Long Island, so he's going to get after me if I didn't. But this is kind of a big deal. And then there was something that happened over the weekend. I want to share this with you because this is very strange. Turns out that another bridge, this one in the Ohio River, was affected. It got hit by one of these barges that broke loose. 26 barges breaking loose there in the Ohio River in Pittsburgh. Hey, Pete Buttigieg, little guy, where are you when we need you, right? Aren't you like the head of infrastructure here? Like, isn't that your job? You got train derailments in East Palestine, Ohio. You got planes falling out of the sky. You get all kinds of balloons floating everywhere over our country. And now we got bridges getting banged into by cargo ships and barges. I think it's time you investigate. Just saying, FBI, I think it's high time that you investigate. So I'm pleased that this announcement is coming out today. But I think it's overdue. I mean, this went down on March 26th. We should have been investigating right away. Maybe they were, and they just don't tell us, right? Because they don't tell us everything. At the time, Joe Biden addressed the questions surrounding whether or not there had been any foul play in that bridge collapse in Baltimore. And he said, quote, he posted this on X. There are no indications that this was an intentional act, and we are assessing the impacts to the Port of Baltimore. Well, now the FBI is paying close attention, as it should. I mean, we got to wake up to whatever the heck is going on. We're very vulnerable because we've been very distracted. We've got all this infighting. We've got the focus on, oh, we got to take down Trump. We got to take down Trump. Let's go back to Donald Trump standing outside there saying, look, I'm fighting. I'm fighting for justice. I'm fighting. I'm fighting for myself and all of you, because this is nothing but one big giant witch hunt. Can we go to the tape, Drew?
Walking into the courtroom.
You see him walking in. Yeah. He comes up to address the press there, approaching there. I have a feeling we're going to hear from him every single day. Now, there's a gag order on him, of course, and the judge was very clear about making sure that that was reinforced. He actually instituted it so that he couldn't talk about the judge, couldn't talk about the judge's daughter. He's angry. You can see him.
Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this.
There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
It is an attack. It is most definitely an attack. And I think ultimately it's going to backfire spectacularly on the Democrats. But we can't count our chickens before they hatch, so to speak, right? You got to think about everything that's going on, everything that's going down. I want to point out some of the inflation numbers continue to look really concerning. We see, of course, gold continue its upside here in this kind of environment. Why? Because you know what? People are nervous about the future. We've got a market that's down today, and yet gold trading at $23.99.80, 20 cents away, ladies and gentlemen, from $2,400 an ounce. You've heard me talk about gold a lot. I want to point out that this is something that Rob Horton, my colleague at 76 Research, we like as part of a diversified portfolio because, you know, it stood the test of time, shall we say, and it's something that really helps your dollars keep pace with inflation. And inflation is real. Inflation is out of control. So gold is something to look at. But there's other ways to approach this market as well, especially if you're somebody who's interested in having some income in the future, income that is adjusted for inflation, right? If you want to be able to live off of your investments, off of your dividends, off of your income producing investments, then you want to take a look at what we are proposing for you. We've got a series of model portfolios, three in particular that you really should focus on. One is the income builder. Another is inflation protected portfolio. And the other is the growth portfolio, American resilience. These are all long-term plays for people that want to make sure that they're in hopefully very safe investments, because I'm telling you, the government is certainly not a safe investment. I don't know if you're going to have Social Security. I don't know if you're going to get anything from Uncle Sam in the future. You got to take care of yourself in this scenario. And you got to have the right kind of research, frankly, to be able to do that. And digestible, easy to understand. You know, the problem with Wall Street is they write in this esoteric business to business way where they all try and outsmart one another with, oh, how many big words can we put in here? And this is not about communicating with everyday folks. It's about communicating with each other and sounding smart and then charging thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for the research. Like you normally pay, in all seriousness, I'm not like blowing my own horn or something, but you'll pay about $10,000 for any kind of product that is at all akin to what Rob and I are offering. But we decided, you know what, we can do this in a different way. I teamed up with him because I've got this audience, I've got you, I care about you. So many of you over the years have asked me for investment advice, and I'm like, if I do this, and I want to do this, I got to do it in the right way, in the best possible way. And so I teamed with Rob, who I have tremendous respect for. He's been a longtime friend, and he's managed billions of dollars on Wall Street. I got a lot of ideas. He's got the ability to just basically put them into that computer head of his and figure out, okay, is this an investment that is good for people over the long term? He backs it up with extensive research. You can see it all online, 76research.com. You can subscribe to the model portfolios, or you can get the 76 report, where there's a lot of ideas that he shares there, important ideas for you. 76report.com or 76research.com. He's one of us, shall I say, as somebody who believes very passionately in freedom and capitalism and the opportunity to prosper. That's what America has always offered, right? This tremendous opportunity to prosper. Things that are quickly, seemingly disappearing, that I think this administration would like to just squash like a bug. We've got news today that Joe Biden's still going back at it as far as his student loans go. And, you know, I apologize. I actually reported this incorrectly last week when I talked about, oh, he just wants to give $5,000. Turns out it's a little more than that. Yeah, it's a little more, folks, because you're looking at possibly $25,000 in giveaways here. Last I checked, dude, didn't the Supreme Court say, no, you can't do this, right? Last I checked, that's exactly what they said. And yet Joe Biden's coming back for more. Kamala just the other day, on Friday coming out with a whole song and dance about how everybody needs to have these loans paid off. I'll tell you one thing. You want to create another big industrial. Remember they talked about the big military industrial complex? What are we creating? But the big educational complex where you just keep going to school. And apparently you never have to pay the money back. But oh, no, you'll not see any inflation in school prices. Why would you see inflation in tuition when the government's giving free money away? Look, this is not hard. You do not print money. You do not give away free money for education. Because all you will do is cause those college tuition prices to go up even further. This is what they've succeeded in doing and what they'll continue to do. And it's pretty darn pathetic. I'm glad to have you here. Make sure that you subscribe. Go to TrishReganMedia.com. That's my website. Subscribe to the show on YouTube or anywhere that you're watching. We're live. We're here. And I just want to go out for a moment and just thank so many of you wonderful people who are some of my loyal friends, like Ian, you're back. Ian, who got the Trish Regan Live Free or Die cup. I hope you're drinking your coffee from it every single morning. Don, good to see you here as well. I think you guys are saying, oh, you know, we're not getting as many likes today or this or that. You know, I have a feeling that people are exhausted by what has happened, just exhausted. And I get it, guys, because you're looking at what's going on in New York and you're like, really? Do we have to deal with this sideshow? You look at Letitia James, this news just out today. Ladies and gentlemen, Letitia James is going back to the well again. Somehow the $175 billion or whatever the number is, million. Oh, dear me. They wanted him to pay $1 billion. $175 million. I mean, she's like, this isn't enough. I don't trust the creditworthiness of this bond shop that issued it. I think it was a company called Knight. And so she's asking for all kinds of extra paperwork. You see, they want to bog him down. They want to bog his lawyers down. And then the crazy thing is, when it turns out that some of his lawyers are being paid by the RNC, duh, of course, they go nuts. Only to then have headlines crossed that, what do you know? Democrats are doing the exact same thing, paying none other than Joe Biden's legal bills. He's going to have more coming his way. Listen, it's not a good place for us to be. It really isn't. And so I understand. Mike, thank you so much. Love you guys too. I mean, really. Tim, thank you. Leslie, you got two cups. That is so great. By the way, I'll put the store in here just in case you guys. We've got a terrific, terrific little store. TrishRegan.shop. And you can get the Live Free or Die cup there. You can get the America hat, all of this. But I think people are feeling like, yeah, exhausted. And I hear you. Sally, I hear you. Listen, I am too. But like, I'm going to remind you of something. He's tired of it too. And yet he's there. There's a judge saying, you got to show up 4 out of 5 days. His son is going to miss his high school graduation because of this, Barron Trump. He's got to go and do this 4 out of 5 days. So he can't campaign with the same kind of vigor that he would otherwise be campaigning with. He can't go and communicate with the American people. He's stuck there in a courtroom where we have to get details leaked by the likes of the New York Times. They don't have the cameras in there. And as tired as you are, I think it's time for all of us to kind of double down and remember what's important. And not let them destroy our morale. His morale is not destroyed. Our morale cannot be destroyed. Listen, there's a lot at stake right now for our border, for our economy, for inflation, for the international global situation. I sure as heck don't want to be running around the world getting into all kinds of fights that, you know. But then again, you got to be clear on this, right? Because people say, oh, he's an isolationist. And I've talked to him about this. An isolationist until you say, okay, you know, our word has to mean something. The problem with Joe Biden is he's talking out of two sides of his mouth. Do we have the Kirby shot, dude, where John Kirby is like saying one thing about his commitment to Israel and then saying another or talking, you know, out of two sides of his mouth with Iran? I think we do. I want to play this for you guys because John Kirby, who was the Pentagon spokesperson and now is the Trump spokesperson, was sort of contrasted. Somebody put this out on Twitter, and I thought it was really clever because you hear him then and you hear him now. Watch.
The U.S. will have visibility and will be able to engage in oversight about where the money was going and for what purpose. If Iran tries to divert the funds, we'll take action and we'll lock him up again. And there will be sufficient oversight to make sure that the request is valid and that it's going through vendors who we and the Qataris can trust will actually contract for the goods, the medical equipment, the food, whatever it is. The regime doesn't get to touch the money, Peter. Doesn't go to them. They don't get to decide ultimate destination, and they have no direct access to it.
John, Iran made two transactions withdrawing from the previously frozen funds in Oman. What were those transactions for?
I don't have the details on that, Jackie. You're going to have to let me get back to you on that.
Yeah. Okay. And can we go to Peter again? Because Peter over on Fox, he hit the nail on the head. He's asking, like, what the heck's going on? What is all this money? All this money that you guys have released. And John Kirby just wants to laugh about it, for goodness sakes. John, I'm sorry. This is not a time to laugh about this stuff. We need accountability in Washington, D.C. from the Biden administration. No more playing nicey-nice with any of these guys. You got to sanction. You got to actually follow through with your sanctions, and you got to actually stand for something, for goodness sakes. Here we go.
I'm not concerned.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars
for Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really?
It's in the money,
I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this this unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the supreme leader of the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes, and we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
It can only be used for humanitarian purposes. You understand money's fungible, okay, guys? Like, why do I have to break this down? If money is money, right? Like, it's completely fungible. Whether you want to earmark it for humanitarian purposes or earmark it for something kind of bad, like, you don't get that say, John Kirby, Joe Biden, Antony Blinken. You don't get that say. Iran gets to decide what it's doing with its money. Sure, it can tell you, okay, we're going to put this towards humanitarian. And then what do you know? Boom, presto, it gets diverted into something else. This is money, okay? Period. I can't believe, like, the lack of economic sophistication is truly a problem for this administration. I mean, let's think about all of it. I mean, consider where oil prices are now. Consider how much energy prices have gone up, how much everything has gone up since Joe Biden came into office. Well, part of that is, frankly, because of his own stupidity. He's got an energy secretary. There's a former MSNBC contributor, former governor of Michigan, who doesn't know her, you know what, from her elbow. Doesn't. Truly doesn't. Told my friend Tom Keene over at Bloomberg when she started. He said, so what's the Granholm plan for reducing gas prices? And she laughed like a hyena. I've played you that. I mean, go back and look at it, guys. It's unbelievable. She laughed like a hyena. And she said, well, you know, I can't have any control over that because OPEC's in charge. No, no, no. You absolutely can have control. Again, oil is fungible. Oil's a global market. And you know what you do in that case, Jennifer? You actually pump more oil in the United States of America to help bring oil prices down. In other words, the Saudis, OPEC, they can do it all they want. They can say, we're going to tighten supply. Well, if you increase your supply, haha, you're not part of OPEC. You can help reduce energy prices. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And then they went into this situation in Ukraine. And they knew they were going to have to block natural gas from Russia. So what did that do to natural gas prices? duh, it caused them to move higher, thereby helping the Russians. So we won't allow any Russian natural gas to come here or go to the Europeans. But guess what? Everybody else is still getting it. So you want to sanction? Then you actually sanction. You say to these countries that are importing the Russian natural gas, okay, well, we're not going to do business with you because you're doing business with the enemy. Trump gets that, like really gets that. Scares the heck out of a lot of people. Because wouldn't you always rather use economic power to fight rather than the actual drones and the actual like ships? I mean, the fact that we have to send 2,500 Marines over there, this is a problem. We know what Iran does. Heck, Anthony Blinken even admitted it himself. He went on Meet the Press this weekend over on NBC, and he told us. So it's like, buddy, you know, you've always known what goes down, and yet you give them money anyway. Watch.
What do you say about the argument that money is fungible? So Iran may have known this money is coming and used other funds to help fund this attack that happened.
Iran has unfortunately always used and focused its funds on supporting terrorism, on supporting groups like Hamas. And it's done that when there have been sanctions. It's done that when there haven't been sanctions. And it's always prioritized that.
Okay. So if they're using their money to do these things, then why the heck are you giving them any money? Like, this is the common sense stuff that I really, like, I'm like, wait, am I not thinking about this correctly here? What is it that possibly, let's entertain the other side for just a moment. What could possibly be going through Antony Blinken's mind? Okay, well, on the plus side, they just depleted Iran of 200 missiles, drones, forgive me, drones. So good, okay, good. Iran got to do this big, big show, and it went nowhere because Israel shot them all down. Terrific. And now they're out 200 drones, which have to cost something. So you've maybe made a dent, a small dent financially, and made a small dent in their drone arsenal. But other than that, what did you do? I mean, basically, you got Iran willing to stand up to you. They're calling you chicken. How are we in an environment where we're actually at this stage, where they're doing this themselves, where they're not actually using a proxy? I'll tell you what Trump would have said. He would have said, when this all went down in October, first of all, I don't know if October would have even happened, only because he never would have released this $6 billion. You can tell me it's locked up and who knows what, like, whatever, money's fungible. And I think if nothing else, there was a promissory credit note that you had $6 billion on the way. So Trump never would have given them that. He also, I do believe, he wanted to be out of Afghanistan, but he would have done so in a more organized fashion. He would not have left the weaponry behind, and he would have put some stabilizing force there on the ground so as to prevent any of these factions from rising up and creating another ISIS-type scenario. So that's what he would have done ahead of the situation. What would he have done had all this gone down and he was looking at the same exact situation today? I think he probably would have said to Netanyahu, instead of like Joe Biden, you know, cowering and saying, oh my gosh, you know, Rashida and Bernie Sanders and Michael Moore, they're all mad at me. He would have said, okay, Netanyahu, you do what you got to do. And the U.S. is behind you. And that in and of itself would have destabilized Iran and scared the living daylights out of Iran enough so that they wouldn't be like, woohoo, look at us. We're going to throw 200 drones over into Israel. Because you have somebody who's actually standing for something. You cannot get it both ways here, Joe Biden. You're either with Israel and you stand with Israel and you send a really clear message, or you're with your base. You're with your crazy lefties that want to go recruit transgenders on TikTok for the U.S. Navy, all right? That's who you stand with that don't want to be in any kind of conflict. You either take this head on, you believe in America, you believe in the greatness of America and the patriotism that comes with it, and you say we're going to choose where we're getting involved. And if we decide to get involved, because we like that country. That country is on our side. You know, we make an educated choice that we want to help them. Then guess what? We do. And we mean it. And when we sanction, guess what? We sanction, which means you don't do business with those that are our enemies. Is that too simplistic? I'm looking at your comments right now. I mean, I think that the problem is that you get too many Harvard people. Yeah, Blinken went to Harvard, overthinking this. Nothing against Harvard. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I do have something against. I went to Columbia. So great school, got a great education. I can count on one hand the normal people I know that went to Harvard, in all seriousness. Like, there's some normal people at Columbia, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, like plenty of great schools in America. The number, and this is going back a ways, by the way. This was back when Columbia was not what it is today. It was like, it's unthinkable, some of the things that I've heard and seen, and some of the hazing and the, that's a terrible way of me describing it. It's like full-on, full-blown harassment that's happened at these college campuses. Anyway, again, I'm just sort of looking through your notes. I don't think I'm being overly simplistic here. I think I'm being pretty clear. And the problem is you have people that overthink it, that have all their different factions, and one team is not talking to the other team, is not talking to this, is not talking to that. They're just hell-bent on whatever it is that they got to get through there in their government. Victor likes Dartmouth. Dartmouth's pretty good. Live free or die, baby, right? Live free or die, New Hampshire. Anyway, we got a lot going on. So I am telling you, it is time to double down. It is time to care. It is time to share this. Share it and get the message out as much as you can. Guys, I'm here every day live for you. You know that. I'm committed. You're committed. I know you are. And just spread the wealth, share the information, let people know we're here every single day live. I will see you back here around the same time tomorrow. We got more to discuss. Cheers.